Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
July 22nd, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, good glass does make a difference. Well, welcome back to another Digital Story. I have some fun things to talk about today. I think what I want to focus on has to do with the real difference I notice when you have one type of lens available to you and then suddenly you have another type of lens available to you and you're in the same setting, the same shoot, and you really get to see the difference between having the different types of lenses. Now, the setting for this is Stanford University last week in Northern California, and there was a professional tennis tournament there, the Bank of the West Classic, I believe, tennis tournament, and it's part of the U.S. Open series that Olympus is a sponsor. Olympus USA is a major sponsor of this. And I mean, major. I mean, they had like Olympus everywhere. And they had, you know, their own Olympus box where you could go and look at the different cameras and the whole deal. I mean, it was very, very cool. So they invited a few photographers to come out and test a relatively new camera they've announced. It's the E520, and it's a midline digital SLR. You can get the body with the kit lens for less than $700, so it's not going to break the bank. It is a sensor-based image stabilized camera, which means any lens that you put on the E520 is an image stabilized lens. And not only is it stabilized, but you have all these different modes to choose from. You have, you know, the regular stabilization modes, and then it has a horizontal panning mode, which you see, you know, fairly often. But then it had something that you hardly ever see, which it had a vertical panning mode for the stabilization, which I thought was really cool and really taking into account, you know, things that photographers need. Other little goodies that it had that I appreciated was face detection, which, you know, on a digital SLR still isn't that common. We see it on a number of compacts, but not on as many digital SLRs. It had a nice size sensor, a 10 megapixel sensor that was, you know, plenty there. Now, Olympus uses the 4/3 system, and they have special lenses for it. And the nice thing about the 4/3 system is that it's easy to figure out your 35mm focal length, because all you have to do is double the listed focal length on the lens that you put on there, and that you know gives you, you know, your 35mm equivalent. So it's a lot easier for people like me than multiplying by 1.5 or 1.6 or whatever the magnification ratio happens to be. It also has like Olympus version of Live View, and it even lets you focus while you're in that mode, so you can actually compose on the LCD viewfinder. It had a nice frame rate, 3.5 frames per second, which I think is pretty good for a camera in that price range. And it felt like 3.5 frames per second. It was pretty zippy. So here we are. A number of us photographers, I think there's about half a dozen of us that were invited to this. We go to the Olympus, you know, they had a box, a sky box, where we go up there and have an orientation, and they set us up with our equipment. And we could take our time getting comfortable with it and so forth. And then once we were ready, we could actually go down to on the tennis court itself. In the press area, we had a press pass and actually shoot the matches live with this new camera. So, great idea. I love it when camera manufacturers, you know, put cameras in the hands of photographers in situations that are interesting and say, hey, go take pictures and have fun and get to know the equipment. And Olympus did exactly that. Now, here's the fun part. So the little kit that we got had the camera, the E520, and a couple batteries. Again, you know, smart thinking here. These people, they're like real photographers, you know. And a 4 gigabyte memory card that we could, you know, borrow for a while. And they encouraged us to bring our own memory cards too, which is a good thing because I think I went through 3-4 gigabyte memory cards over the course of the day. And then we had the standard lens that comes with the camera. And then they gave us a telephoto also. And the telephoto is sort of their stock consumer telephoto. It's a 70 to 300 f4 to 5.6. And of course, on an Olympus body, then that 70-300 actually becomes the equivalent of a 140 to 600 lens. So, I mean, you know, pretty beefy magnification here. And because the image stabilization is sensor-based on the camera, then of course any lens you put on there is an image stabilized lens. So, you know, then they also brought some other glass, and they had, you know, the glass on this table up there in the sky booth. You know, all these different lenses, of course, that, you know, and here I am, I'm like a, you know, a moth to the flame. It's like, okay, I got the camera here, I've got the stock lenses, and then you have all of this stuff over here on the table. When do we get to break out the real goodies here? But I wanted to be polite too. I didn't, you know, want to be, you know, a jerk. So I decided, okay, I'll be polite. So, you know, I put the 70 to 300 on the camera. And, you know, the skybox wasn't that far away from the court. The Stanford tennis stadium is very nice. It's very intimate. And, of course, you know, I had like a 140 to 600 here. And I'm trying to shoot with this lens. And I was getting some shots and so forth. And the focusing was fine and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But you know how it is when you're shooting with a lens that isn't quite up to the task. And that was the situation here. This lens, the 70 to 300, is a terrific kind of light, all-purpose lens. And you could take it backpacking with you or day hiking and shoot landscape and nature and so forth. You can take it out, you know, just for everyday use. And it's very sharp. It gives very good pictures, very good contrast and nice color saturation. But I would consider a general use lens. Not a lens that you use for world-class tennis players who are really moving out there on the court. I mean, if you've ever tried to shoot tennis, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, these ladies were hauling, and they were strong, and they were fast, and their serves were just, you know, incredibly powerful. And the other thing, and here's where I'm really revealing something about my personality. It was okay to play with the lens when we were up in the skybox, right? But we were going to go down into the press area, you know, where these guys have, you know, cannons, you know, the big lenses, you know, the big ones like you see on TV, the big white lenses, the ones where the diameter, the front diameter of the lens is bigger than your face kind of lenses. So, you know, I felt like I was, you know, going into battle with a pea shooter with this little, you know, 70 to 300 mounted on my camera. So there's just, after, you know, the polite period had passed and I could, you know, really be honest, I asked, can I try some of those other lenses on the table there? And I had already shot some with the little lens. So I was playing around the table, and they, you know how Olympus is. They have some really good stuff when it comes to lenses. I love Olympus lenses, always have. So I'm looking around on the table, and they had this gorgeous, I mean, this thing was drop-dead beautiful. It was a 150 millimeter f2 lens with a tripod collar, very nice shape, not too long, very fat, you know, big front objective lens, and it was just gorgeous, which means when you put it on the E520 body, that you had a 300 F2 equivalent, and that is, downright exciting. And so I asked if I could borrow that, and there was, fortunately, there's two of them, and so it wasn't like I was taking the only one and hogging it, because once I got on my camera, I really didn't plan on giving it back. And the guy said, yes, of course, take a look through it. And he says, do you want the doubler too? Ooh, and I go, really? Which, suddenly gives me a 600 millimeter f5.6, and it was still very bright. So I took both. I took both the lens and the doubler and put it on there. And even up in the skybox looking through it, I was going, ooh, mama, this is a lot different than looking through that other lens. And, even though it's funny how this... No, this is the part that's, kind of interesting. Actually, with the doubler, if it were F2, it's a 600 millimeter F4. I have to correct, I did some bad math there. 600 millimeter F4, because we're starting at 150 millimeter F2, and we double it, so that's 2 to 2.8, 2.8 to 4. A 600 millimeter F4. I just want to let that sink in for a second. A 600 millimeter F4 that also focuses really fast and is good looking and has a tripod collar. And they had monopods there for us to use. So the difference between looking through that lens and then the equivalent, the little zoom lens, that worked out to be a 600 millimeter F5.6. was, I have to tell you, just like night and day, just like super night and super day. It was so very different. And then when we went down on the court, of course, and the action's really moving quickly, the focusing of the 150 f2 was far superior. It focused very quickly. And then, of course, just as important as all this other stuff was that it actually looked like a professional lens, because it is, and that I didn't go down there with some little pea shooter on my camera. I actually went down with a real-looking lens. Still, not nearly the girth as some of these other lenses, especially those big old white Canon lenses, but I felt pretty respectable shooting down there with the equivalent of a 600 millimeter f4. I was doing okay. And I had a lot of fun. It was a great shoot. It takes a little, I don't know how it is for you, if you've ever shot this kind of action, especially with a new camera, a camera that you haven't had a chance to practice a lot with. But it does take a little while to get your timing. And you do have to look at the LCD screen every now and then and review your shots. I know some people are really critical of folks that look at their LCD, and I don't quite understand why, because when you're in a situation like that, you have to know if you're getting the shots or not. And of course, one of the big things in tennis shooting is the ball in the frame, right? I mean, it has to be a pretty artistic shot otherwise if the ball isn't in the frame. So, you're always trying to get the ball in the frame and a good shot, and you have to look at your LCD to see if you're doing that, because if you're not, then you have to go, okay, I either need to anticipate more, or I need to make some sort of adjustment. And then once you find what that adjustment is and you get the feedback on the LCD, then you know how to shoot, and you can click away from there, and you don't have to be looking at the LCD anymore until breaks or whatever. But so I'm not really that critical of folks looking at their LCD. Now, obviously, you don't want to look at your LCD after every shot, or you're really going to miss a lot of good opportunities. But using the LCD as a tool while you're shooting, especially action sports and stuff, I think is a very important part of the process. And I was using mine a fair amount in the beginning as I tried to calibrate. And then, of course, once I calibrated, then my percentage of getting shots with the ball in them went way up. So, going through this event and this exercise, got me thinking a little bit, because, you know, one of the questions that I get a lot, both on email and even, you know, as a comment on the digital story site and other places in person, is, well, I have X amount of dollars to spend, and I could get, you know, this, you know, let's say they're shooting Canon. I could get this very nice L-series zoom lens and a cheaper body, let's say, such as the Rebel XSI. Or I could go ahead and get something like the 5D or something that's more expensive, but then maybe have to get, you know, a less expensive zoom lens to go with it. What should I do? And, you know, the way that I really lean these days is that the lower end bodies are so good. If you, you know, look at this Olympus, you know, this E520, it's a terrific body. If you've had a chance to play with the Rebel XSI, fantastic body. You know, the Nikon bodies at the low end are fabulous. I mean, these, they're not giving us junk at the lower end here. And, you know, like with the new Rebel XSI, I think it also shoots at 3.5 frames per second, which is decent for sporting events. So, you know, my leaning is, and especially after I got a chance to just kind of compare this all in one place the other day at Stanford Stadium, is that I think I would tend to put my money more in the glass side of things than in the body. First of all, you know you're going to update, you know, the body you know, within a couple of years anyway. It's not like you're going to keep it forever. But a really good lens, and this is true for the lenses that I own, a really good lens you'll have for decades. And that includes the autofocus stuff too. I mean, one of my favorite lenses that I still use on my Canon 5D is the 85mm f1.8. It's a compact lens. It's not too big. It's a good-looking lens. It's very bright, you know, at f1.8, and it takes really great shots. I've had that lens forever. I cannot even tell you how old that lens is. I bought it a long time ago. Oh, gosh, probably 15 years ago, maybe longer. And it works great. And as I, you know, go from film, which I did when I bought that lens, to digital and then changing digital bodies and so forth, that lens just keeps going with me. And at the time that I bought it, I didn't have very much money in the early days of photography. I think it was like $350 way back when I bought it. And, you know, that was a fair amount of money for me at the time, especially to invest in a, you know, single focal length lens. But I just really wanted it, and I knew that I'd get some good use out of it, and so I did. So that $350 investment that I made way long time ago has been paid back over and over and over again. And that isn't true for, you know, the bodies that I've used over the years. I mean, I'm sure I've got my money's worth out of them. But the camera bodies have come and gone, and a lot of times I find myself in a situation where I want to hand it down or think about converting it to, you know, IR photography or, you know, whatever. But my lenses, don't touch my lenses. Don't even think about it because, you know, I'm keeping those. So, you know, as you're sort of thinking about, you know, how you're going to do your investments and towards your equipment and so forth, I have to tell you that this has played out for me over and over again. Good glass does make a difference. And if it means that you have to reach a little bit to get that lens that's a notch up, that's not such a bad idea, because it's probably something that you're going to have for a long, long time, get lots of great shots as bodies come and go. And the Olympus day at Stanford really just kind of reminded me of that lesson that I've known for some time now. Okay, there you have another pearl of wisdom from Derek Story. And as with all of my pearls, you probably want to take it with a little grain of salt, but not too much on this one. Kind of trust me on this one. So I want to talk about a couple other things. You know, we're in the home stretch of the month of July, and I'm not getting that many submissions for the photo assignment, which is fire. Now, that means one of a couple things. A lot of you are on vacation. You think my assignment for the month sucks. Or you're on vacation and you think it sucks, which would be a double whammy there. Or, you know, you don't have time, or you don't have one laying around in the archives like you have some of the other photo assignments that you can just pull out and send in. You actually have to go shoot something. So whatever the reason may be, we need some more. This is the photo, the turnout is a little light so far this month, and I'm hoping that we'll get a little bit of rush at the end. So the photo assignment for July to the end of July is fire, and see if you can come up with something. The ones that have come in are nice, I gotta tell you. There's some good stuff there. So, and remember, there's all sorts of ways to work with fire. You know, you've got some options there. You can go metaphorical too. So there's that, and I just ran a grab shot yesterday, and which is nice, and just wanted to remind you about them, and, you know, send them in if you're sitting on one. And I want to thank our sponsors, LowPro, ExpoDisc, Photomagico, and Red River Paper. They're all terrific, and they have so much to do with keeping the show on the air, and they all have tiles on the digital story. So when you're over there, click on one and see what they're up to. Now, I have some exciting things going on. I'm getting ready to go to Beijing. I'm going to be going to Beijing in early August, as I've mentioned. And I'm thinking about ways that I might be able to report back on what I'm doing. So I have a couple thoughts around that. Now, one of them is that I'm on Twitter. I think I actually did a blog post on it. I'm on Twitter as Derek_story. And I think I'm going to use Twitter while I'm in Beijing as a way to kind of give updates on what's happening from Olympic Village and, you know, the whole area there, and just how the Chinese adventure is going in general. So if you're interested in following that, you might want to go ahead and, you know, go on to Twitter. You know, Twitter's free. You know, log on to it. Go ahead and follow me. Get that set up, and then we'll see what happens. Because I can tweet from my iPhone and any other way that I can get connectivity. I'll be working in the media center a lot there in the Olympic Village, so I'll have internet connection there. And I'm going to try to, you know, do blog posts and so forth. But if it gets totally crazy, I know the one thing I can do is tweet. And so I just wanted to mention that if you're interested in kind of following that saga that'll be going on for a couple of weeks, then go ahead and sign up on Twitter and let's give it a go. And it's fun, by the way. You might even actually like Twitter. I have to say that I was sort of skeptical in the beginning. And about, I go, oh, God, just like sort of another thing to do. But I'm following some fun people that I really enjoy what they're doing and talking about. And I got, you know, folks following me. And generally, actually, I think it's a really neat thing. I'm enjoying it. And I've changed my opinion. I have to say that I think it's fun and I like it. So might want to take a look. And as I think of other things, too, I'll continue to let you know, because this just seems like a great opportunity for all of us to really go into the bowels of how these things work in Olympic Village. I'm going to be there actually before the Olympics start, so I'll be there during, you know, part of the setup and all that sort of stuff. And I'm hoping to have some good dirt to report. That's actually what I'm really after here. And then I'll be taking pictures and doing podcast interviews and all that other stuff also. So I think that should do it for this week. And I'm going to, by the way, I still have that Olympus camera and I'm going to keep shooting with it. Although they didn't let me walk off with a 150 F2. So heartbroken. I missed that lens already. So you go out and maybe get some shots yourself. Don't forget about the photo assignment fire for the month. And I'll be back here next week with more updates as we get closer to Beijing and all the other good stuff that's going on. I'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.